Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Frog Level.
That would be really weird.
Incredibly odd.
That's a great name, though.
Yeah. Well, shout out to our sponsor here, Shane Reed, for giving it to us.
Yeah, I'd never heard of that, but
it does exist.
You looked it up.
Yeah, it's more of a community.
Where is this?
It's near Philadelphia. It's 5 miles from Pearl River Resort.
Really?
Frog Level RV Park.
But okay, going which direction?
Hold on. Hold, please. All right. It's near Williamsville.
Okay, so it's in you town. Go on,
yeah, okay, so that is that 16 there? Yeah, you go 16.
Coming from Pearl River?
Yeah, you go 16 past Pearl River. Dancing Rabbit must be this way, too. And then you just keep going, and you run into it. It's near the intersection of 16 and 15.
So it's literally... So that's not a community. That's just a RV park.
It's a community of RVers.
That's basically, that's not downtown Philadelphia, but that's the city of Philadelphia right there.
We're just going to go with it's a community.
Okay. I'll go along with it, I think that's just Philadelphia, but...
Frog Level.
It works for me.
That's why you don't want to dig too deep. Just go with the name.
No, you should have just kept it there, because now I have questions and I just
don't worry about all that. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange, and in some other states too, apparently. We'll talk about that on tomorrow's show. We've got some big news for you guys. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. It's at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. PIP Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Whatever your role is in your business, you know that printing plays a huge role in everything that you do. It's what gets your message to your customers. Why would you want to settle for anything but the best? Call PIP Printing and Signs today, talk to Cam Baker, and find out what he can do to help you get your message out there to all of your customers. Go to their website, pipridgeland.com. You can find out a lot more. You can see what all they have to offer. It's way too many services to listen. If I listed them all, we'd be here all day. We don't have time for that. So you need to go check it out, pipridgeland.com. The number is 601-499-5216. Tell Cam you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call PIP today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you are looking for it. Robbie, I've got two $20 gift cards to give away for College Corner. What should we do? How should we do this? I'll do this. We'll do this.
We need to do a social media.
Yeah, first thing. Two people, you got to tag. You got to be following me and Robbie. You got to tag me and Robbie in your tweet. A picture of you listening to Thunder and Lightning while in your car, on a jog, or on a piece of farm equipment, wherever it is. If you're on the go listening to Thunder and Lightning, tweet a picture, tag us. I'll DM you. I'll get your address, and I'll send you these gifts.
We're just going to pick at random.
We're going to pick the first two that you know what?
Let's do it a little more random, because if it's just the first two, then people will...
Yeah, then Colton Watson will win.
Yes.
So, let's... I'll pick two winners. I'm going to pick the two most unusual ones, though. So, if you're in a big tractor, you got a good chance to win.
Yeah, let's
make
it to where...
If you're driving a Lamborghini...
Let's not make it like a... Let's not... Let's make them work a little bit.
You and Deion Smith are in a Lamborghini together.
Well, it'd be a rental.
So. Well, it would be a rental. In fact, they're not that bad. You can get them at
a
reasonable price. So, you can win a $20 gift card to College Corner. We've got two to give away. We'll do it today on the show. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. And if you are looking for a great lunch in the city of Starkville, you just cannot beat Restaurant Tyler. They've got the best blue plate in town. Great selection for meats, veggies. They have the best cornbread. And if you're not a blue plate person, you want to just get a burger, get a sandwich, man, they've got you covered there, too. You can't go wrong with lunch at the best restaurant in town. That's Restaurant Tyler. Excuse me. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you where they are and then show you how they're going to manage your money, how they're going to help you invest, how they're going to help you build for your future. Now more than ever, you want to be able to talk to your banker. You don't want to have to be on hold. You don't want to have to wait 30, 40 minutes on a 1-800 number. Priority One Bank gives you that opportunity because they are a small-town Mississippi bank at their heart. 16 locations means there's one near you if you live in Central Mississippi. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. It is Rumblings Day here on the podcast, and the Rumblings, of course, are brought to you by our good friends over at Superior Catfish. I enjoyed some Superior Catfish just yesterday. You had the opportunity. You went chicken.
I did. I just had catfish like a day or two earlier.
Saying though, it's always a good day for catfish.
I was feeling chicken yesterday, but you know me. Yeah, I love catfish.
Oh, it was so good.
Especially if it's Superior.
Well, we went to Obie's, and we were with our friend John Sokoloff. He's like, Brian, what's good here? What do you get? And I was like, man, I always just get the catfish. I don't stress. I don't come. I know they got a big menu. They got a lot of options on there. I don't worry about that.
Obie's is one of the most
fried catfish.
Obie's is one of the most consistent restaurants I've been
always
to in
the
Starkville.
Same. I get. The
I have never. I've never had like even some of my favorite restaurants. I'm like, it just wasn't a good day today.
Yeah, never had that problem at Obie's.
Never. It always tastes
the
same.
Never had that problem with Superior Catfish.
Never. So it works perfectly with Obie's because it's consistent.
Yeah. So I ate it. You should eat it next time you're in Starkville. Obie's, Little Dewey's. They've got the Superior Catfish. If your local catfish house doesn't carry your Superior Catfish, you need to ask why. Because there's catfish, then there's Superior Catfish. Let's jump in to the rumblings. Cameron Cady has our first question today. Early predictions on state champs. High school football, 7A?
Every classification.
I mean, we can't do. But let's just put it this way. I think the four.
I'll say,
triangle,
I think 1A, Velma Jackson. Ooh. 2A.
Okay.
I don't know enough about 2A.
Taylorsville's not in 2A anymore, so.
Yeah, and they're
Keys' brother, right? Got another Ty Keys down there?
I doubt that's his brother.
It's not his
brother? Two brothers named Ty Keys.
I'm just saying.
That. No, I don't. I think there's just another Ty Key. I mean, he might be kin to him, but I don't think that's his brother. But you're thinking about Tristan Keys.
That's who I'm thinking of.
He's in Hattiesburg.
Is he?
Yeah.
No, I'm not thinking of Tristan Keys. There's another Keys. I think he's in Taylorsville. Anyway, go ahead, though.
3A, I think Knoxville County is going to be tough. I think Winona is going to be a good again.
Mm-hmm.
4A, Louisville, I think still going to be the tough team.
Just go ahead and put the name on the trophy.
5A is going to be interesting. I don't know. West Point with Brett Morgan, I have a lot of faith in him because he's been pretty much one of the guys running that program. I mean, Chris Chambliss has done a great job, but he pretty much let those guys run it.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be good. I think Grenada's going to have a chance to win it in 6. They're going to be really good.
Yeah, Michael Fair, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're going to be tough. And then 7A is up for grabs. Brandon is
you didn't mention 6A.
I did say 6A.
Oh, you said Grenada. Okay,
yeah.
Grenada. Okay.
They moved up to 6.
Oh, okay. Okay, I thought they were still in 5. Okay,
and the talent there is surprisingly good.
And 7A, you like Brandon?
Brandon is really impressive right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oak Grove is probably going to be really good. Starkville's going to be better than people think. I would lean to Brandon right now.
Yeah.
So
Starkville handling Knoxville so easily last weekend made me think they might be better.
It's
than
just
thought.
So.
I'll get a look at them this weekend.
I think you'll like them.
Where are you going to be Friday?
I'll be at Choctaw County Friday.
Okay. I'll be
Choctaw County's opening the new stadium this weekend.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, I mean, last week we had Louisville versus West Point and Starkville versus Knoxville.
Yep.
That's like 40 state titles.
Yeah. And what's crazy is those teams have been in the state championship game 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
West Point, Starkville, mm-hmm. Knoxville, Louisville. All four of those teams, which are...
And Louisville has never lost a state championship
Louisville
game.
Louisville is 11-0.
Yeah, that's insane.
And West Point's been to like 7 straight state titles.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This area,
uh-huh.
within like a 30-mile radius, Starkville and surrounding area is unreal.
Also from Cameron, what worries us the most about Arizona State this week?
I think they're kind of an unknown. I haven't dug too deep into them, but you get a team playing with a lot of confidence on the road. You better come out
early on them. You better score early and get that crowd out of it, because that's a game where if you go down 7-0, that crowd is going to be like, we're going to beat an SEC team. They're going to go crazy. So
yeah,
just the fact that they're on the road gets me the most.
The early part of the ball game is very big, I think, because you've got to get the momentum early. It's, you know, I thought after they got through that first wave from Arizona a couple years ago, uh-huh, they really settled in.
Yeah.
I think that can happen in this game too, because I still think that, you know, State has the tools to go down there and beat Arizona State. What was that?
My trash can lid okay. fell off. Which is weird because I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, it's not even full. So yeah, I mean that. I think starting that ball game early. I talked about it. I think it was yesterday when I was talking about the
random.
You know, we always talk about Ole Miss in comparison. I think it's a fair comparison beyond just being in the same state with Jeff Lebby and all that stuff. Ole Miss always comes out and scores a touchdown. There might be a few games where they don't, but Ole Miss almost always comes out in the first possession and punches you in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
State needs to do that too. State yeah. needs to, and with this offense, I think that's the biggest comparison is like this offense seems to come out early and have success. Mm-hmm. That's what they need to do in this game. They need to come out, get that touchdown early, and go from there.
All right. Dalton Lee, Brian and Joel had the Kylin Hill hurdle tracker in 2018. What would be a good random stat to track this year? Kevin Coleman ankle breakers, Shapen QB slides. Nothing really rolls off the tongue. I think you should track how many seconds are on the clock when State snaps the ball, and see which one was the fastest.
Yeah,
and see if State can snap it with like 34 seconds left.
I wonder what their protocol is, like how fast they run,
mm-hmm,
like when they need to slow it down a little bit.
I'm sure they just come from the sidelines, like, hey, you know, bring it in, because
the check with me.
Well, not as much a check with me as just, hey, huddle up. You know,
was bizarre the other day to look at how fast they're rolling.
Yeah.
Like, we've never seen that at Mississippi State.
That's great, yeah. Kobe Walker wants our thoughts on Arizona State. Kobe, that'll be a couple more podcasts, buddy. We'll get you taken care of. Don't worry. Blake Thompson, we're a week deep into the season. What are the biggest differences you can describe about the way Lebby runs the program? The vibe in the Bryan building and the attitude of the players compared to Mike Leach and Joe Moe's programs. Lebby, it's just more modern because he's younger. He's a little more... We talk about how he doesn't really give us anything, but his attitude is obviously very positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way he talks. There's not a lot of BS. Mike Leach and Jomo had different kinds of BS. Jomo's BS was all football. Moorhead's was all football BS, right? He's like, here is a list of everything that happened in the game. It's just BS. I don't care. Leach, there wasn't any of that. It was more like, I'm going to ramble about God knows what for.
I'm showing up every day at 3 p.m.
Yeah, and when we start this press conference, if you ask me a football question, you're not going to get a football answer. You get an answer, it's not a football answer.
I think it was...
Lebby is just to the point.
I kind of think he takes the best of both of those coaches.
Okay.
He enjoys recruiting, really loves recruiting. He's got that kind of mindset about him like Moorhead did,
mm-hmm,
but he's very organized. And he's, you know, he's got that, you know, like, when I'm coming to the office, it's time to get to work. And that's how Mike Leach was, too. When he got to the office, he was ready to work. It was just, when was he going to get to the office? You know, a lot of times it was after lunch.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of the best of both coaches. Mm-hmm. And there's still a lot to be answered over the coming months for Jeff Lebby, but it really does appear to me that he's a guy that has his you-know-what in order.
Yeah. Colton Watson wants us to pick two and leave one. Complete gimmick infringement on Gil Manklang here.
It is. But
he does apologize, but...
Is Gil... I feel like he's kind of hit or miss.
He has been here. Well, we'll see what happens, right?
We haven't seen him around as much.
Chapel Roan, Sabrina Carpenter, Charlie XCX. Hey, Robbie.
Who
the hell are these people?
I know Sabrina Carpenter.
I don't know who that is.
Are these pop singers?
Am I judging them on their quality of their music or their looks?
We might have to look them up.
We're like going to move on is what we're going to do.
Guys,
if you're going to ask us this kind of question, how old are you?
Chapel Roan.
How old are you over there?
35.
You're 35. I'm 48. We got to make these specific. I mean, I don't know who these people are.
Okay, Chapel Roan.
I can't wait to learn what Chapel Roan has sang.
It looks really weird. Yeah, I don't think this would be my
oh god
my jam.
She is hideous.
Charlie
XCX. Also unattractive.
British singer-songwriter.
How
no,
old
thanks.
Is she? She's 32. Good lord. She looks...
I'm good.
Like, one picture, she looks 15, and one picture, she looks 53. And then
Sabrina Carpenter is attractive. I do know Sabrina Carpenter. But I
don't know.
I'm not really down
I don't
for
know.
Any yeah. of these three from a music perspective. I can just go ahead and
tell
she
was
you.
On a Disney show. Let me see which one it was. Girl Meets World. Oh, okay, I remember her. She was, I do remember her from that show because my daughters watched it.
Did you watch Boy Meets World?
I did not. I know
that was out of your
range. That's a little out of my range. So.
That was like you were in college at that point.
Oh, yeah. All right. I was at a Glass Animals concert. Think modern techno hippie music.
Oh, my God. Colton.
Didn't Glass Animals do Heat Wave? Yeah, what? They did Heat Waves. You know that song. If you heard it, you would know it.
Okay.
Anyway, in Arkansas this weekend, some girl held up a sign asking the Australian musicians who don't know a razorback from a razor blade to call the hogs. What can be done about the pestilence on earth that is the Arkansas fan base? I mean, you just have to laugh at them. They don't ever win. So.
Calling the hogs is one of the worst cheers
it's
in
great.
The SEC.
It's great if you're an Arkansas fan, but asking Glass Animals to do it? No, not so much.
Asking grown men to do that.
At a press conference is fantastic.
Yeah.
Rank these SEC teams after week one. Florida, South Carolina, Arkansas, Vanderbilt State.
Giant gap, and then everybody else. I mean,
okay.
Just calling it right down the middle.
I'm very unbiased. I would go, and this is just, let's pretend I was, you know, an idiot.
Yeah, if you were just not paying attention.
Vanderbilt is one, believe it or not.
They had the most impressive
win by
far.
Arkansas, two. They had the second most. They did 70 points.
Yeah.
State, South Carolina, Florida.
I think that's perfectly
fine.
Actually, I would probably rank Florida ahead of Carolina, if we're going to be
honest.
Yeah, but they played Miami.
Play each other?
South Carolina played
play each other?
Old Dominion.
Florida. They don't play each other. I wish they
did. And Florida's a much more talented team.
No, you're right. I can live with that.
Billy Napier, by the way, is digging his grave. The worst thing you can possibly do when the fan base has gone from kind of split to people starting to lean in the direction of you getting fired is start picking a fight. Especially with this fan base. Don't do it.
Yeah. Zach, been a few weeks and I haven't had a good question. Anyway, is this the deepest wide receiver room that you've seen at State? I can't remember this many playmakers out wide. We talked about that yesterday. Yeah, I think it is. And I agree. I mean, we think it is. They still got to play some games. You know, if we wake up in 3 weeks and they haven't caught a pass or something, I know what you're saying. They will. But if you think, you know, if we come back in 3 weeks and like nobody's had a 100-yard game, and then no. But yeah,
I just think of it as like we haven't even seen Kelly Okorie yet.
Yeah,
Trent Hudson didn't get a target that I can remember the other day. It's a very deep group.
Yeah. Taylor Ball asks, should we be concerned that Chapin didn't distribute the ball much more than to Coleman or Mosley? No.
Well,
I mean,
where's Craver here?
Yeah, Craver only had one catch.
Did he?
Yeah. He had one taken back from penalty.
Oh, okay.
He only had one catch. He had the one touchdown. I don't care. If those two guys average 6-7 catches a game and because they're open, good.
Well, here's the thing. Ole Miss in 2020, about 60-70% of their passes.
We've talked about this before, that this offense, one guy is the alpha, and then everybody else is just kind of down there.
Yeah.
Elijah Moore, Dontario Drummond, Marvin Mims, Drake Stoops, all those offenses. One guy had a lot of catches, and then nobody else really
did. It happens at a lot of places.
It does, because you have a stud.
Yeah.
So, based on week one, do you think A&M more of a potential win than you did before? No. No, it's about the same. I mean, Notre Dame's a good football team.
I do feel a little bit better about that game.
Okay. Matthew Watkins asked us. Daniel,
I think it has more to do with State.
Yeah. Matthew Watkins asked, Daniel Bryan or Brian Danielson?
Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
It, Because I'm so stuck on that, yeah. I continue to call him Daniel
Bryan. I do
Bryan.
It every now and then.
JR
called him that on the end of the pay-per-view.
And I was listening to his podcast today, and he did it like 3 times.
Oh, gosh. Dean Ambrose or John Moxley? Moxley.
Yes.
Yeah. Sid Vicious, Sid Justice, or Psycho Sid? Psycho Sid.
Yes, Psycho Sid. Wasn't it spelled differently than Psycho? Like, wasn't Psycho spelled like with an S?
I don't know. I thought it was just spelled like that.
I think it was
normal.
I think it was spelled with an S.
I'll have to go and look.
Yeah.
Bradshaw or JBL? That's not even close. JBL.
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 Yeah.
Legend, yeah.
Carter when he went into that character, he just hit a new level.
Yeah. Carter Bentley, somewhat newish to the Jackson area and want to check out some local Friday night lights. What are the must hits here? Also on the 20th, Northwest Rankin at Madison Central or Oak Grove at MRA? I'd go Oak Grove at MRA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't know much about Northwest this year. Yeah. Madison's solid, but that's a potentially really good matchup.
I go check out Germantown. They're usually pretty good.
Are they?
They usually have some talent.
They usually have talent, but they're usually not very good.
Trying to think where else. Go see Prep. If you go see Prep JA one night.
When I will say on. Madison Central has a Mississippi State commitment now on their team.
Who?
The forgot his name. The offensive lineman that was at Clinton Christian.
Oh, Josiah Clemens.
Yeah, Clemens. He transferred to Madison. Yep.
Yeah. Andy Losick. Bryan, what happened with Pochettino at Chelsea to be one and done? He had them playing well at the end and got a heck of a year from Cole Palmer. Do you see him being able to improve things for the U.S. men as a manager? He is certainly a great manager and better than anybody the U.S. men have ever put in there before. Chelsea is Chelsea, man. They just run through coaches the way some people run through shoes. I mean, it's just they don't leave them keep very long. Steve Mormon, did we just whiff on the naming rights to Scott Field this year? Well, if you listen to our interview with Zach Selman, he talked about that. Or my interview, I'm sorry, that was on Thunder and Lightning Live. He talked about it, he said, you know, didn't know if we would have a sponsor this year. But, I mean, does anybody else have one in the SEC? I didn't notice it on Saturday.
Tennessee
has one. They're like, I don't think anybody else.
A lot of people are taking a wait-and-see approach. I know State's doing that, too. Yeah.
Also, did you notice any difference at all in game day experience Saturday as opposed to last year? Robbie and I are kind of tough to ask that because we're just in the press box and we're not really – the atmosphere doesn't really catch us. I will say this. The speakers don't sound any different in the press box than they did last year.
They sound bad.
But I did see some people online saying they could hear a lot better this year.
The thing is, like, I don't know how much – different it sounds on the outside. It didn't sound good in the press box.
Right.
But like I said yesterday on Talking Dogs, if you guys want to go check that out.
You should.
On YouTube. I just don't think anything's going to get better this year with the speakers. Complaining about it is just...
It is what it is.
It's falling on deaf ears because they're going to do that next year.
Yes.
So it sucks right now, but the plan is to get that fix next year, and hopefully they do, because it would change the atmosphere drastically, I think, when everybody can hear what's being said.
Yeah.
I will say that the DJ Cujo, who I'm a big fan of,
mm-hmm.
the atmosphere was totally different with him out there. And a lot of the time, like, his stuff wasn't working because of the rain. His computer got overheated. Mm-hmm. I read a story on him today, and he was telling me yesterday about how, like, almost immediately, like when the game had started, the computer got overheated.
I can believe that. It's 100 degrees out and, there. They got to put some fans around.
And then it started raining, so they had to put garbage bags over his stuff. Yeah. So that they've got to figure out some.
They
got to
put
logistics.
A cover over him. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's tough because, like, it's not a place where you can put up like a tent because you got people behind you.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I thought the crowd, the student section specifically, were loud the entire game.
Yeah. Aside from the student section, where was your favorite place to sit? And what is now known as Davis Wade Stadium before you became media members? Andy Losick again. I mean, the answer is the student section. I always love sitting in the student section. Because
I like that.
You can just be yourself.
I had season tickets whenever I was, like, junior high.
Yeah.
We had season tickets, like, on the 50-yard line when State sucked. Like, 2001 through 2006.
Yeah.
Those were great seats, but... The team was terrible. So, yeah.
Rob Hadaway, did y'all ever hear anything about the alleged lightning delay that was announced at halftime? They made the announcement that the band marched as usual and the teams came out and played 20 minutes later. I heard there was a lightning delay, but I mean, did they really make them go out there with all those metal equipment and play on the... I don't know what happened there.
I don't know if that was just like a you know.
Does lightning delay only affect the teams? The band can just do whatever the hell it wants?
Yeah, that was very strange. And, I don't know if it was like, hey, we just spot a lightning that'll be 30 minutes. Because it did, the halftime was longer. So I wonder if they, like, right at the halftime, they said lightning delay. Mm-hmm. But that makes sense that the band would play. So I don't know.
I don't know.
I never saw or heard anything, but people in the press box said they announced it.
Also from Rob, what are your best tips on learning a new roster? You host a podcast 5 days a week talking about Mississippi State sports. So you'll learn that roster pretty quick.
Yes.
There's that. You can also buy the NCAA football game, which aside from Kobe McCollum is pretty accurate.
When I was a kid, I would get the
get a media guide.
Before I had access to media guides, mm-hmm. I would like the first game or something, I would get a program.
Yeah.
And before the games, I would look through the roster and I would memorize every name, every number.
Do they still sell programs at the games?
I don't know. I never see them, but that was like
that might be something that comes back with the portal, and it's so tough to learn rosters. They might start like, hey,
I loved having a physical program.
Oh yeah, back in the day that was fun.
And then when I got to Mississippi State and I was doing my internship, being able to write a feature story for that program was like a dream come true for me.
That's cool.
I have several of those still.
Yeah. Last one from Rob. What MSU football things do you think trigger the most specific generations of fans? Examples, white helmets, strain, 1A and 1B. Which ghosts haunt each generation the most? I think white
helmets. Those are all examples for Rob.
Well, I mean, but like, I think if you say, playing in Jackson haunts older MSU fans. Like you, there are people who went to college here and maybe saw like in 4 years saw 8 home games.
That's truly unbelievable that happened.
It's the way it was.
It's the same mindset that you heard yesterday from Will Hall talking about. Like they want to, like nothing beats getting a check from an SEC school.
Yeah,
same thing. Yeah. Like State just survived.
State was
on
an
that.
SEC school and got those checks.
Yeah.
The white helmets is the toughest one because every time I see it, I just assume State's going to lose.
I honestly like that look.
I can't stand it.
No, like, the look is, to me, aesthetically, it looks good.
To you, sure. To me, no.
No, but what I'm saying is just the look gives you bad memories. Mm-hmm. It's not that it looks bad.
No, I think it looks bad anyway. I don't.
You think it looks bad because you're comparing it
but
to
I
a
think
time that you didn't like.
Mississippi State should not wear white helmets. They should wear maroon helmets. I completely disagree with that.
I mean,
that's fine. We're allowed to disagree.
The road uniforms are all white.
Don't like them.
Sick.
Don't like them. Never have.
Well, you also don't like French fries, so.
It's true.
So that it doesn't mean that your opinion is good.
So I don't like things that are French, like white flags. They surrender a lot of
Well, yeah, threats. Yeah, technically.
Yeah. Vive le Robbie over here.
I think white maroon.
Oh, Robbie Falk. Tell me more about the French.
I think white maroon white on anybody else would look cool, but the fact that it's Mississippi State, and I remember, you know, the only good thing from that being Jarius Norwood, it does kind of haunt me a little bit. And I wish they wouldn't wear it for that reason. But that doesn't mean I don't think it looks okay.
Chris said, we have a portion of this fan base that is really the worst, the poor old State mindset. I'm sure Banner Bros reading some tweets you both got during the game. It's like, why are we even fielding a team? Do you think they find any positivity in life? Here's what's funny about those guys. They're the same ones who say we're too negative.
I don't know what to call these people because there's people that call the people that are negative poor old State.
Yeah.
And there's people that say if you're too positive, it's poor old State.
It's people who are too positive.
Can we define this 100%?
Poor old State is...
You're living in the past.
You're living in the past. Mississippi State can't compete.
Yes.
You know, that's why we can't hold our coaches accountable to a higher standard, because we're just Mississippi State and we're just doing the best we can. That's what that is.
The one that annoyed me the other day was that Mississippi State can't compete in NIL, so they just should be developing players. The people that think that, if you're listening to this, do you honestly believe that Mississippi State can develop players and not pay them? Because the minute they develop that player into something special, that player is going to be looking for money. If Mississippi State's not able to pay them, they're not staying here. So you can't develop players without NIL. And if you're the opinion of Mississippi State has never been able to pay players, so they're never going to be able to pay players, then why are you cheering for Mississippi State? Why do you even
Yeah.
Might even fall in.
I agree.
Because if your idea is it's just going to stay the way it's always been, this guy, I think he tweeted at you,
and I saw the reply, so I quoted it. And I was just like, Mississippi State won 9 games 2 years ago.
Yes.
2 years ago, they were finishing the top 20. And we're poised to have another big season.
And, we
and
were
then
sitting
the
there,
coach died.
And then we were sitting there talking about they left meat on the bone.
Yeah.
They could have won more.
Yeah. Oh, that's that been, year? Easily could have beaten
that
LSU.
That has been Mississippi State's like name for a long time. Yeah. If they had one more player, if they won, made one more play. They're not – people act like Mississippi State is incapable of doing big things.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, they are one play away, one player away from being a completely different
program. If Austin Williams doesn't fumble a punt – you beat LSU.
Yes.
Yeah, and the
that's
and
a 10-win team.
Now you're a 10-win team. I mean, it's just
And the year before there was 10 wins on the table too.
Oh,
so
you,
it's just,
you down a punt against Memphis, and you don't get called for a I almost said a bad word there. A stupid penalty against, not even a stupid penalty, an incorrect penalty call against Arkansas. You win 9 games in the regular season.
Yep.
So yeah, you're right there. But people don't want to hear that. Jackson Waddell, I did not grow up a State fan, so I don't know about Larry Templeton for anything other than the athletic building. Could you please detail some of his atrocities? We don't have time.
Brian would be happy to detail a few.
Let's just say this. There was never an athletic director who was less fan-friendly, less progressive, less concerned about the future, and only concerned about balancing the budget than Larry Templeton. Simple as that. If Larry Templeton was our athletic director in this day and age, Mississippi State might already be in the Sun Belt.
Yeah. And then they might have just like gone just to save more save.
Yeah, it's like we can't compete. Let's just get out of here. We'll do two more, then we'll do two more people, and then we'll go to the break. Brick Thomas, have y'all tried the pimento and cheese sandwich at Chick-fil-A? I have not. Have you?
No, I'm not a pimento cheese guy.
Really. Robbie, why do the big hats bother you?
It's just they look dumb.
Come on, guys.
I get the whole like you're just old or whatever. Who can logically look at this and say that looks cool?
Yeah,
like if you're just trying to be funny,
it's funny.
I get it.
It can be funny,
but they're posing like being cool, and I just don't understand it.
Yeah. The kickoff is 9:30 p.m. What's the best thing to do while watching a night game and after? Well, Brick, the best thing to do while watching a night game is to watch the game. That's what I do when the game's on. I just watch the game. I don't do other things. I'm kind of locked in. And then after a 9:30 kick, I would tell you the best thing to do is to check out Thunder and Lightning live postgame and then go to bed. And that's what I'm going to do.
No, Brian's telling you is nothing good happens after 9:30 at night.
Nothing. So we'll do this one, then we'll go to the break. Sarthak Sharma, for the rumblings, I see a big push to get regular folks to donate to NIL. Do any of state stars in the NFL donate any of their millions to the NIL? Dak, Jeff Simmons. Feels like just their name recognition tied to state hasn't done much for recruiting. They don't. And by and large, that's true of almost every athlete in college football. Very few of them give back.
It wouldn't shock me to see them involved in some form or fashion,
but
at some point in the next year.
Okay.
Would not shock me.
You know something over there?
I'm just saying. It wouldn't shock
somebody
me.
Somebody knows something. He ain't telling us, though. Somebody's close.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you think about it, like, what has A.J. Brown given to Ole Miss? What has Tua Tagovailoa given to Alabama? What has, I mean, is Burrow given to LSU yet? I don't know that he has. So, it's just an athlete thing. I get it. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. It's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind that beef, it is what's for dinner. This weekend, what to do before the game, Brick, is to cook. Cook some great food, and nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. So if you're cooking out Saturday while waiting on the dogs to kick off, make it beef. If you're going out to eat before the dogs kick off, make it a steak. We have so many great steakhouses here in the state of Mississippi. You can't miss one. If you live in Mississippi, you live near a great place to get a steak. So do that. This weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place for smoked Southern soul food. It is the place to go for a great, great time each and every time. This Saturday, if you're looking to watch the dogs, Two Brothers is a great place to do it. They got plenty of big screen TVs in there to watch college football on. But if you want something a little different, something a little more refined, a little fancier, if you will, the fancy sandwich. The home of that is the Older Brother, also in the Cotton District. That's a place I need to go back to the Older Brother. my list of places I need to go eat is getting longer. I don't go out to eat as much as I used to, and it's making me sad.
I go a lot.
I know you do. Well, you know, that's because you're big money over there.
No.
You got a big house on the big side of town. You got more cars than most of us got friends.
Well, I only have two.
I have you and Joel. That's it. Well, I have Logan too. So that's I got four. I got three friends.
My mom and my dad. That's about it.
You have me. I'm your friend.
Yeah, technically.
Ooh, okay. I don't know what happened there. Two brother smoked meats. The food is good. You okay over there?
No.
You need a hug? I mean, come on. I'll tell you why. I'm coming in.
No, I'm good. Okay, I'm coming. Why?
I'm gonna give you a hug. Mm-hmm. All right. Good hug.
That's a good hug.
There we go.
I feel better now. We hugged it out. All right. Rolling back over.
Didn't get up. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers. 49 years of delivering the best in business technology to you. And when you need service, you don't have to worry about it with Advantage Business Systems. You know it's just a phone call away. Not a 1-800 number phone call. Not a hold 45 minutes phone call. Not a make an appointment with our out-of-state technician. He'll be there in a week phone call. A 601 number, and a lot of times your problems are going to be solved in 24 hours because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this fall, you need to go to Maroon & Co. or you can check out the website, maroonandco.com. And check out their incredible selection of Mississippi State gear. They have stuff you cannot get anywhere else. You just can't. It's only available for you at Maroon & Co., so check them out. Use our promo code, THUNDER15. You can save 15% off all regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to Davis-Wade Stadium, you need to go to Maroon & Co. All right, back at it here with the Thrash Panda. What does it say about the job that Bob Carskadden did for Hale State that once he left, it actually took two regular men to replace him? It took 10 fingers to replace 8. It took 20 fingers. 20 fingers to replace 8.
That's true.
Pretty good. If this team could bring back two players from the post-Jomo era to add to this team, who would they be? This was a really easy one for me. Really easy.
Well, Jeffrey Simmons.
No, post-Jomo.
Oh, post. My bad.
Yeah, so Leach and Arnett. It's easy. It's easy when you think about it.
Just Jet Johnson and Nick Bucci?
No. Forbes and Emerson.
Oh, yeah. Cornerbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I have Forbes and Emerson on this defense, I feel a lot different about it.
Yeah. I'm thinking, too, like, the defensive line, like, who would they have on the
There's not really a stud. Not Marquise Spencer. Cam Young,
probably.
Cam Young
would
be your best choice. Obviously, Watson and Johnson would be great, but I'm telling you, if I can get Emerson and Forbes, I'm in good shape.
I think if they were a little better on the defensive line, that would change the whole defense.
That's true about anybody, though. Papa Crawdad, better career, Mysterio or Eddie Guerrero? It's Eddie.
It's Mysterio.
Really? Okay. I'll hear your argument.
Well, he is basically been two generations strong now.
I'll grant you that.
Started wrestling when he was like 16, 17 years old. He's been on TV about that long, and the longevity he's had. If Eddie had been able to go another 10 years, it would unquestionably be Eddie. Now, impact, you know, on the Latino community, it might be Eddie. On the Latino wrestlers, I'm not sure. But just from a whole spectrum of how long he's been around, which has been since like 1996, I got to go Mysterio.
I just think Eddie is the more influential wrestler. People still emulate a lot of the things that he did. I think a lot of the younger generation still follows him. I think his world title run was a lot better than Mysterio's was. I think if you asked Rey Mysterio, he would tell you Eddie Guerrero, too. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, he would, but that's just out of respect. And
I think if he's being honest, he would tell you it was Eddie.
I think a lot of people would say, like, you know, Eddie's probably the better wrestler, better character, stuff like that. But I just think over the course of having a career like Mysterio's had, it's just tough for me to.
Yeah. All right, Paul Barrett, for game day experience, which songs worked and which ones were flop? Party Till We Die seemed like it got the student section going. I couldn't hear the music. And honestly, I would not know most of those songs that DJ was playing anyway. So you're asking the wrong guy.
I didn't hear anything hardly. I heard the fourth quarter song.
Yeah.
I
like the way they tweaked that video a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. The first down Bulldogs, Hail State, call and response doesn't work with the Libby offense. The ball's already in the air by the time the crowd is finished. Do the fans need to adjust, or do we need to scrap it and find something else? They got to make a change on that. You can't be saying that's another first down as he's snapping the ball. We got to figure something else out there.
Yeah, I mean, I've never thought that was very uniformed anyway, so yeah. I didn't think that was an actual, like, official thing.
Yeah. Brad Baxter, why do you think Dak receives so much criticism? What I would say to this, Robbie, is I can take the word Dak out and put the word, why do you think the Cowboys quarterback receives him? He's the Cowboys quarterback. That is a lightning rod. That is one of the most high-stress football sports positions.
It is 100% because he's playing for Dallas.
Yeah, it's like...
If he played for the Minnesota Vikings...
Nobody would care. Mm-mm. Everybody would be like, this guy puts up monster numbers. He's underrated. But
the reason he's about to be the highest paid quarterback ever is because he's played for the Dallas Cowboys.
Exactly correct, yeah.
If he goes into free agency, he will be one of the hottest free agents of all time. Anybody that tries to tell you that Dak sucks, Dak's had a terrible career, is an idiot.
Yeah.
And they're biased against him because he's about to be legitimately the hottest free agent in the NFL in a long, long time if he does indeed test the waters.
I agree.
Either way, he's going to be paid more than anybody
ever
at that position.
Brogan Fairchild, what DIY project or repair are you most proud of completing?
I think mine would be during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I made our own shiplap.
Oh.
It wasn't true shiplap. We had the boards cut, and I painted the boards. My wife and I sanded them down, cut them. Nailed them up there on the fireplace and then on our island. That was one of my favorite projects that I've done. And then I did a lot of stuff on my house that I was really proud of. Like, I can look at, and like, I didn't, put my house up. I didn't put shingles on the roof. I didn't put the studs in, anything like that. But there's a lot of projects I did around the house that I'm really proud of that I was a part of because I put my stamp on it,
There you go. I think it's the trampoline that's in the backyard. Which, by the way, if anybody wants a trampoline, just let me know. Because my kids don't play with it anymore. But that thing was a beast to put together.
Oh, yeah.
So that's probably what I would go with.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to the trampoline yet. Yeah. I haven't had to do that yet.
I can get you a deal on one.
No, I'm good. How am I going to transport that thing?
That's not my concern.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You just put it by the road like you do everything else.
Yeah. And
take it away.
Everything is taken.
Did somebody ever come get the treadmill?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which doesn't work.
I bet they were so pissed
to
load that up.
Yeah. How are you going to adjust to covering games when the offense goes this fast? I definitely noticed that I wasn't able to, like, fire off tweets as fast. Sometimes I'm just going to let a couple plays happen, and maybe you get a second there.
I just don't, like, I don't do, like, a
you don't do as much
so-and-so just catches a 40-yard pass. Like, I just kind of let it play out and give some thoughts.
Yeah, I agree.
But if there was times where I'm looking down like, oh, they just ran another play.
Yeah.
Like,
you got to keep your eyes on the field when State's on offense.
I watched the broadcast back yesterday, and Charlie Strong and the other guy were talking about that. Like, oh, we just missed a play.
Yeah.
That's how fast they're going.
I like that, though. Blake Thompson, Billy Napier is bombing big time, but many State fans thought he could have been a good fit in Starkville. Looking back, would you have rather hired Billy Napier than Moorhead at the time, and it worked out? What is the main issue at Florida, coaching, culture, or attitude? I think coaching is the main issue, Robbie. That's why I'm glad State didn't hire Napier at this point.
I said when he got hired there that we're going to find out if the way that he does things works in this new era.
Yeah.
I was very interested in that. There were two different styles going on in the SEC.
Yeah.
Billy Napier and Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
And Lane Kiffin's is the one that's – and those were the two guys that we both said, we'll see how this works. Lane Kiffin's is working. His is not. Mm-hmm. He has like the kind of the Mullen developing. We're going to bring guys up. It's going to take a couple years or whatever. He recruits much better than Mullen did, but he's got that same mentality of this is a program thing. He did that at ULL too. It's all about the program. I just don't know if that's fully sustainable anymore. You know, you can do things your way, but it's just like Chris Jan said, there's going to be a lot of roster turnover. It's no longer about taking a player and developing them from freshman to senior year. You can try to do that with some guys, but you've got to be able to plug in guys, and you're going to have to turn over the roster and get some players in here. And he just has not been able to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that it's just it hasn't resonated with them.
I agree.
I don't know if he would have worked here or not.
I don't either.
Sometimes it just works differently for guys where they're at, and he might have worked here, but I don't know.
Jay in Baltimore, rank these closing tracks based on its influence on the band's legacy. The Clash's Train in Vain, Prince's Purple Rain, Lynyrd Skynyrd's Freebird, Doors the End, Led Zeppelin's When the Levee Breaks. Okay. Based on the band's legacy, Freebird is number one.
Freebird's one, Purple Rain's two. Number two.
Train in Vain, I mean, I just put it in the middle. That's fine. The Doors, the End is not the best Doors song. That's not the Doors' legacy song. And when that's their fourth. When the Levee Breaks is not even close. I love When the Levee Breaks.
I love that song, but
it's not even close to song for what Led Zeppelin. So that's
But Freebird and Purple Rain are definitely at the top.
When you say Lynyrd Skynyrd, you think Freebird immediately. When you think Prince, because Purple Rain was also a movie.
Yes.
A successful movie. Yes. So, yeah. Let's see here. Eli Sykes. Robbie, I remember you saying that one thing you wanted to see from State's offense was tempo. Now, it's only been 1 week, but what are your thoughts on the tempo of the offense? Robbie, hold on. In true Jeff Lebby fashion here, I'm going to give you 20 seconds to answer this question. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
And you have 20 seconds to give your answer. Ready?
Well, I thought our guys went out there with a lot of intent, and we came out with a lot of energy, ready to play the game, and really transitioning what we were doing in practice each and every day to the field. And that was one thing that I was really excited about on Saturday, was just seeing the intent and the energy that we played with.
Great work.
Well, within 20?
You finished right at 20.
Yes.
Good job. Brian, I've gotten into the Premier League. Brian! I've gotten into the Premier League over the last few years and started supporting Manchester United, my dad's favorite club. What do you think they have to change in order to start performing like a top club again? P.S. Chelsea looks great so far. Chelsea does not look great. They should have won Sunday. They got to change coaches. And I know it feels like a cop-out, but Ten Hag, it's just not happening. It's just not working. So I hate to say it because I loved him at Chelsea, but I would go get Thomas Tuchel involved.
Agree.
I knew you would. I knew that you would. Let's see here. Logan Ledbetter, as far as you know, how many former Bulldogs are coaches? I mean, a ton.
There are a lot, especially in the high school ranks.
Yeah.
Mississippi's got them all over. Yeah. Errol Thompson, I think, just got involved. I think he might be like Biloxi or something.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. Mason Welsh, what are some differences?
A little unrelated, but I told you about this. Cole Gordon is now refereeing.
Yeah, we saw him at Obie's yesterday.
I saw him at Obie's yesterday. I saw him at East Webster the other night. He just got started doing some refereeing. Pretty cool.
I want to know if he'll become an umpire.
I don't know. Do you want to if you're a baseball player?
He'll be giving the pitchers the biggest. Oh, it's a strike! It's a strike! Mason Welch.
And he's like 6'4", so what are you going to say to him?
What are some differences between Lebby and Arnett that you hope give you hope Lebby will succeed? Well, I mean, we've kind of talked about that a little bit earlier, but I mean, just the main difference is that Lebby has been preparing to be a head coach for the past few years, and Arnett was not. And it showed. It really showed. Ryan Sparks. Last week, Becca and I drove to Chicago to see Pearl Jam at Wrigley Field. That had to be awesome.
Yes.
At one point, we used an entire tank of gas without stopping, almost 6 hours. Where does driving long distances without stopping rank for things dads get excited about? It's up there. I was happy the other day. So, you know,
I'll drive from, like, Nashville home. I might stop for
gas. I drove the other day from Starkville to Hattiesburg without stopping one time. 3-hour drive. And I take 2 diuretics for my blood pressure, which means I got to pee a lot.
You got to pee.
I did not. I was so proud of myself. I got to Hattiesburg to eat. And I didn't. That's when I went. I was like, I felt good. Felt good. So that's up there. It's definitely up there.
I'm having to stop more often now. I'm getting older.
Yeah, it's part of life.
Gotta pee more.
Mangum Cafe. If we lived in the Shrek universe, does that make Robbie Donkey?
Oh.
It does, though. Actually, you know, in the Shrek universe, if we lived there, Mark Titus would be Donkey because we all know that Brandon Walker was Shrek.
Yes.
And that's who does a podcast.
Yes,
so
indeed.
So you and I are just like two, you know, other people. I'll be the gingerbread man. You're a monster! Woo! If the Dogs are 3-0, how much fun will Davis Wade Stadium be? Against Florida, that will be, it'll be rocking.
Yeah.
It'll be rocking. Tony Harlow, did you notice, guys notice, Florida State closed off the top third of the visitor side stands so the stadium looked more full. Should State in the future stop selling tickets to the visitor side upper deck? So they pulled a SummerSlam on them.
They did.
They tarped it off.
They did. I think that Davis Wade needs to shrink its capacity.
I agree with that.
I think that you're, right now, for what it is, it's just too, it's too big for this era of football. You're just, it's going to be a lot tougher for Mississippi State to get 60,000 in there regularly. So I would shrink this thing down to like 50,
mm-hmm.
and make it a more intimate environment, make it a more fan-friendly environment, making people want to come to the games more regularly. But it's just going to be a lot tougher for you to get 60,000 in there on a regular basis.
Last one of the day from Dalton Hedgepeth, who asks, is it safe to assume that we will see larger improvements throughout the season from the O-line as they play together and learn to be a cohesive unit versus the D-line probably not improving drastically? I think that is a safe assumption.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right on the money. You know, the O-line, they need to play together. The D-line, it's not so much about being cohesive. It's not so much about being a unit. It's just the talent level isn't that high.
Yeah.
Is how I would look at it.
Yeah, I definitely think that the offensive line has a chance to really improve as the year goes on. I just don't know how much more the defensive line can improve.
I agree.
I don't think that they're quite there from a talent and depth perspective.
Yeah. All right, that's the show for today. Tomorrow's show, we'll look a little deeper into Mississippi State versus Arizona State as the Dogs get ready to hit the road for the first time in 2024. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.